Jesus was asked by one of the disciples, what's the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But he said, the second is just like the first. In other words, they're equal. Love others as you would love yourself. Care for others. Look out for the best interest in others. I'm going to talk a little about that today. It's going to be an incredible day. Hey, if you've never connected with us on a regular basis, or you get a text maybe once, twice a week, but it helps you to know what's happening, you know, the directions and things that we're going in, just text the word connect, 585-487-8100. It'll keep you in the loop. It'll help us to be able to reach back and reach out to you on a regular basis so you can know what's always going on. You can, and I hope if you haven't already done it, will you share this on your page? It's so important. We have people all over the nation now that are watching on a regular basis, and we're so humbled and so honored because of that. And that has come because of many of you have shared it with your family and with your loved ones, and that it's just been great. I want to say in particular today to every one of you, listen to me. Thank you for those of you who have taken time out of your day, out of your week, and you have diligently given to the work of the Lord. You have consciously paused and said, I'm going to do that. I have had numerous people come up to me in this, maybe the last 3 to 4 weeks. I felt the Lord lay on my heart that during the season, there would be no losses. Some of you need to receive that for your own life. But I felt him just drop that in my heart. No losses. And I've had person after person after person tell me, Pastor Marty, you're never going to believe this. I have businessmen sending me their sheets in business and because they can't believe it. They don't think I'd believe it. So they send me on paper the written proof how well they're doing. Some of them are having their best months ever. You want to know what the difference is? The difference is the covenant agreement that some have deliberately made to give to God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, only in one place, where God says, try me in this. One translation says, test me now, says the Lord. See when you give that I'll not open up windows of heaven over you. These beautiful windows opened up over you, and I'll pour you out a blessing you can't even imagine. I'm one of those that God has done that with. I didn't just give and sit in a corner and wait for a cloudburst to come over me, but I gave and I actively engaged my faith in the opportunities that God gave to me on a regular basis. And when you do that, you will see the hand of God stretch out in a mighty way in your life. If you have the PushPay app, you know how to do it. If you don't, you should get it. You can text the word Thus City Church NY to 77977. It'll bring it up on whatever device you have, unless you got a flip phone. That's not going to work. You can go to our website, thecitychurch.com, click on the Give tab at the top of the page, or you can drop it in the mail, send it to City Church, 210 East Main, Batavia, New York, 14020. My brothers and my sisters, you are making a difference. You are helping in a very critical and a very serious time. I ask you today to continue to be faithful to what God has called you to in a beautiful and a powerful way. You can, again, on our website, YouTube, you can listen to it on the podcast later, always on Facebook Live, and it's just a blessing. Before Pastor Aaron comes up and Pastor Ryan comes up to share, we got word late yesterday that the governor announced the houses of worship could open up to 25% of their capacity. In our two sanctuaries, here at the City Church and at St. Anthony's at 114 Liberty Street, Batavia, that would equal about 150 people per service because of the seating at a level of 600 plus people. 25% of that would be 150 people. So starting this Thursday evening, we are going to open up the City Church for our 7 o'clock Life Night service. Our attendance is usually around that mark, so we're going to be great for that. We'd love to see you then. That service starts at 7 o'clock. And then next Sunday, 8:30, 10, and 12 noon, we will be meeting at 25% capacity. Now, I know there's many of you, you love the 10 o'clock service, but I'm going to ask many of you, because that's our largest service, I'm going to ask many of you to come to the 8:30 and to the noon service. And let's split that up. We'll send out some information more this week. It's going to be a touchless service. That just sounds so crazy to me, a touchless service. You can sit with your family. We will not be having nursery, jam, or big kids as of yet, so your children are going to have to stay with you, and it'll be okay. Our services were tight, and they're going to be great. I think this will be a great season for many families in this. Be able to come together. We ask you, obviously, I feel redundant saying this, if you don't feel good, stay home. Well, of course, whether we're in this or not, of course you're not going to come if you're sick. If you don't feel comfortable yet coming, that's fine. Watch it on Facebook, YouTube, or on our website, and we love you. We're going to get there. We're going to get to the 100%. We weren't supposed to have this until stage 4, and whatever happened, he opened that up. He just said that yesterday. So we're excited, we're grateful, and it's going to be good. Pastor Aaron, will you come on up? I'm so grateful for our leadership team all the way around. They've just been doing a phenomenal job. Welcome, Pastor Aaron.
Well, good morning, everyone. We hope you're having a great day today. It's beautiful outside. I just want to share with you something out of Ephesians today. You know, every season that we walk through, or that I walk through, I constantly ask God, okay, what do you want me to learn? What are you showing us right now? And I've been hanging out actually a lot in Romans 12, Colossians 3 and 4, and then also Ephesians 4 and 5. I just can't seem to get away from those few chapters in the Bible. And last night, this really stuck out to me. It said, imitate God. This is out of Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice to us, a pleasing aroma to God. God created us to imitate who he is. At the very beginning, it says God created mankind in his own image. And then later on, it says, be holy, for I am holy. So right here, it says, imitate God in everything that we do. To put it simple, the word imitate means to mimic somebody. So when I take a dance class, I'm trying to mimic the teacher by putting my hand and my head, my leg, exactly where they want it to be, right? So I'm imitating the person teaching me. And that's exactly how it is in life. God wants us to imitate who he is and what he's doing. We're to pay close attention to who he is in our lives. And we've heard it. We've heard the scripture. How do we do that? Well, the very attributes of God are the fruits of the Spirit that we hear Pastor Ryan talking about, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are to imitate who God is in those areas in our life. So imitate God in everything that we do. And then the second part of that says to walk in love. To walk in love. How do we walk in love? We do that consistently, right? It's easy to say I love you once to somebody, but are we loving consistently each other? Are we walking in love in everything that we do? You know, are we showing God's love in every area of our life? Because that's what we're to do. How do we do that? Not just a one-time kind of, yeah, I love you, but to genuinely show people the agape and conditional kind of love out of 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love does not envy. It does not boast. All of those things. Are we showing God's love to the people around us? I really believe that God is wanting us to really open up our lives and our hearts to who He is as our creator, and showing people His love no matter what. So this just says to imitate God and to show His love. And I pray that over every single one of our lives that we're imitating Him in everything that we're doing, and we're showing and we're walking love everywhere we go. Amen. Pastor Ryan.
Hey, good morning, everyone, again. It's a joy to be with you. Can't wait to see you this Thursday night. We're gonna blow the top off of this place. It's going to be a wonderful time of worship, of togetherness. I know we can't touch each other, hug each other yet, but being just gathered together in unity means the world to me. A thought came to my mind as I had been in the Bible app this week and reading in God's Word and spending some time in prayer. This term came to me, and I kind of like the History Channel. I like watching our nation's history and so on. And there's a term that's used throughout history. The term is this, and some won't like it, but hear the context that I'm using it in: divide and conquer. And I said, Lord, I'm not sure what you're saying. I'm not sure what exactly you mean to that. And then I begin to contemplate the time that we've lived in, like no other time. And I'm not claiming this morning to be a prophet, but I did hear the voice of the Lord in this. Corona, in a physical sense, separated us. Think about it. Contemplate it for a minute. We just begin to see some the spirit of togetherness because we missed each other. We long for a hug. We long for a smile. We long for the affection of our brothers and sisters, no matter color, race, creed. We long for it. We begin to exit that season of Corona, and even the announcement this week of the churches opening up, and I think the progress on that will be quicker than we all think. We begin to enter out of that season of that separation, and then the terrible tragedy of George Floyd and many others had happened. And I want to say this to you this morning. In the black community, you know me well. The enemy comes about to kill, to steal, to destroy, and to divide the saints. And I want to call every Christian. I want to call every brother. I want to call every sister in this community to be the light to one another. I so much appreciate the black community has reached out to me in just a wonderful way and showing God's love. I want to read something to you really quickly out of Psalms 133. And the scripture says this: how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's beard, that ran down his beard on to the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And I want to tell you this morning, and I pray that you receive this from the Holy Spirit to your heart this morning. The scripture says this: and there the Lord has pronounced his blessing over you. Let me just say this to you: you'll never find blessing in divisiveness. You'll never find blessing in separation. Oh, it might feel good for a moment. Doesn't sin feel great for just a second? But then the wages of that sin, you know it, it's death. It might not be your physical death. It might not be the death of a loved one in a physical sense, but it might be the death of a season in your life that you could have done something. You could have loved in a way. You could have sown in a way that brought such life and such blessing to a moment. And I want to thank many this morning that are bringing peace and togetherness. And they're pressing away. They're separating themselves from divisiveness and measures of separation. I want to call us together this morning. Black, white, men, women, moms, dads, sons, daughters, generations that maybe there's been some separation in. Let me take the place of humility this morning and say, I'll lay my will down to be together with you. I lay my desire down. I lay my selfish ambition down. Although I want it, I lay it down this morning. And I say, I love you. Your will. Your desire. Your want means something to me this morning. I love you. God bless you so much this morning. We are the family of God. And let me just say this to you this morning. I call out to the black community. You're welcome in this church. You sit right on the front row with me. If you don't have anybody to sit with, you're welcome to sit with us. You're welcome in City Church. And you're welcome at St. Anthony's. And if you believe that and you're watching this morning, just type the words, you're welcome in God's house. God bless you this morning so much.
Beautiful. Wow. Today, I believe, I felt the Lord just touch my heart that this could be one of the greatest messages, one of the greatest moments since I've been pastoring. This message that I want to share today, I believe, if you will take heed to it, not only for the time that we're in. I'm not just sharing this because of what's happening in our society today, because the reality of it is, this is what I'm sharing today. It's in the heart of man. That's why it comes out in society. Today, in the city of Batavia, there is a controlled, peaceful protest that is going on that many in the community have feared because of what's happened in different cities around America. We've been in contact, phone calls with leaders in the city. Business people have called me. My phone has been lit up this week with these different ones asking me, what do you think we should do? And just being in serious fear. But what it has done, it's pushed out, it's made some people make some decisions and come to the forefront in their lives, really to make a decision on who they are as an individual and looking at their own humanity and looking, what do they really place value on? Do they place value on their building, their structure, or do they place value on the relationships that they have with others, even those that may not look the same? This is something that each and every one of us have to come to terms with. And that we do have to love one another. And not everybody's going to be the way you want them to be or say or talk or dress or act the way. And I'm going to just touch on that in just a moment. I'm not going to be long this morning because I believe with all of my heart this is a moment in somebody's life today. It's a moment in our city today. You know, when some people, and I'm not, this is not criticism. People make their decisions and they make these choices that some have chosen to board up their businesses in little downtown Batavia, New York. I lived here the majority of my life, excluding 1 year of my life we lived in Seattle, Washington. I've never seen the level of fear and just uncertainty that is in the heart of many people. We made a decision that's not going to be us because we don't want to send a picture or an image to anyone that we're afraid that somebody's going to harm us. You get hurt, you get harmed all through life different ways. The easiest hurt and the easiest harms to deal with are those that happen to the to the things of life, whether it's your car or a building. You know, we've had people break into our barn, steal four-wheelers. I mean, that's upset me. I got to be honest with you. But in retrospect, it's nothing like when my wife came home and told me that she has breast cancer. Or other issues in our home and in our lives. In the middle of that, we need one another. I've been in some pretty tight circumstances in my life before. When I needed help, somebody asked me the other day, they were looking for somebody to do something with their house. And they said, do you know a good Christian person that can do this? When I go into the hospital, when I had a pulmonary embolism, and they said, they usually read these results on autopsies. I didn't care whether it was a black doctor, an oriental doctor, a Hispanic doctor. I wanted somebody that would help me right then and there. They didn't have to be qualified even to be a Christian. I wanted help. Sometimes we put a little too much emphasis and we pigeonhole people that this is the only individual. You got to be this color, you got to be from this background, you got to have this heading. And God says, I love each and every one of us. He loves us all. This is a moment today where some of you might want to grab a pen, a paper, maybe you take notes on your phone or a device, because I'm going to share some scriptures. I'm going to jack you up a little bit today. But I'm going to read it from the Word of God. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, have your way in our lives and in our hearts today. Take us from the way we are. Move us to where you'd have us to be. I pray in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. I want to just share just for a minute with you today. When good overcomes bad. Christianity has revolutionized the world because of its teachings that are so radically different from the world and its philosophies that we live in. And there's no better illustration about this than when we look at how we treat people who are against us, those who don't look like us, those who maybe even abuse us or have hurt us. And there's no better illustration that we can follow and be better and make a difference in the world by the ones that God teaches us and the ones that he shows us, and to make a difference in our world, not in, when we say world, the planet, but in our world, in our lives, in our home, in our family, in our city. We have to learn some things about who we are and about who he is in order for us to have and to make that difference in our lives. And one of the principles that he taught us, really the first one that I want to look at, is found in Romans 12, and it's in verse 17, to never repay evil for evil to anyone. Never to let that be a part of your life. And what does that mean? That means that when someone does something that harms us, somebody that says something, somebody that does something bad to us, we are not to respond in the same manner. We are not to respond with more evil. When someone does something hurtful or something disappointing to us, that is not the trigger in our lives to get them back. And I know that goes countercultural to what a lot of people think. Even in our political platforms to this day, you say something bad about me, I'm going to say something bad about you. And to do bad to others when they do bad to us is simply saying what Paul says not to do. It's simply returning evil for evil. In this book by David Jeremiah, the name of it is called Slaying the Giants. David Jeremiah talks about a man who had been bitten by a rabid dog one time before the rabies vaccine was available. The man had been bitten, and he discovered late that after he had been bitten that he as well had the rabies. The doctor checked him and related to the man, And he told them that they would do everything possible to make him comfortable, but the reality was that his end was inevitable. He also advised them to go ahead and put his affairs in order as soon as possible. This dying man went into a deep depression, and the shock just overwhelmed him. But one day he finally rallied enough strength in his own life, and he asked for a paper and a pen, and he began writing furiously. Sometime later, the same doctor that diagnosed him came back and saw him writing and said, the doctor said, I see that you took my advice and you started writing out your will. And the man angrily replied, he said, this ain't no will. This is a list of people that I plan on biting before I die. See, the angry and the resentful are those who have been bitten and then channel their energy into biting someone else. And Paul says in Romans 12:21, not to be overcome with evil, but to overcome evil with good. And here we look at the second part of this, and we are not to do bad things when others do bad things to us, because if we do, we become just like that. And the very thing that you and I detest and that God detests, that in our nature is always to retaliate and get back for what somebody has done bad to us. And when we do this, we allow that very thing that we detest to become like us, and it controls us, and it becomes who we are. And we allow the bad behavior of others to conquer us and make us the same person that we did not like. We have become, as the scripture says, overcome by evil. But Paul says instead of being overcome by evil, that we should overcome evil with good. Excuse me. That means that we don't allow the bad things that other people do, say, act out to us, become who we are. Paul says again in Galatians 5, verse 12, he said, I wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. He was a realist. He knew the difficulty. But verse 13, he says, but for you, brethren, you've been called to liberty, not to use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love, there it is again. We started the whole Sunday off. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But then he goes on to say, but if you bite like the rabid dog, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by the very thing that you detest. And then this is how he ends up that thought. He says in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of that flesh. I'm going to get them back. They did this to me. Oh, look out, boy. I've got this. They're going to get it. I can't wait to see them. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind if I see them out. And Jesus says, when you do that, you just become like that. You yield yourself to that negative, to that hate, and you become that very thing that you detest because you become overcome. But you must refuse to let the bad decision of others make you turn in to that bad or that person that makes bad decisions. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after which is good for one another and for all men. This is what you and I are called to. I remember I was writing this down this week, and I remember my oldest grandson, Gabe, he graduated from school yesterday. We're so proud of him. He's such a handsome, such a beautiful boy. He's such an athlete and such a leader in that arena. And I remember watching him in one of the last games. They went on to sectionals. He co-won the athlete of the year in his graduating senior class. And I remember this one of these basketball games that he was playing at right at the end when they were in sectionals. And this kid on the opposing team, he went up to him and he elbowed him really hard. And when I saw that, I'd just be very vulnerable and honest with you. When I saw that, something rose up in me. Because when I was his age, I know what I would have done right then. And that, for a moment, that just tweaked across my mind. You know what that young boy did? My grandson, I'm so proud of him at that moment. He looked at the guy. It touched my life so much, I cried. When I saw it, I still cry when I talk about it. He looked at the guy, and he smiled at him. Like, it's okay. And this is something that you and I must learn. Instead of always, I'm going to get them back. They come near my building. They do this. They do that. They're going to get it. No, I'm going to return good. Because I'm not going to sink to any level that the enemy would try to use that in. And Paul repeats the principle here, but in different words. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't treat others bad when they treat you bad. Instead, he says, we must always seek to treat others good. I want to lay something on you today in just a few minutes. Whatever would be good for another person, that's what we should do, even when they have treated us badly. And it's not easy. It's not fun to do something good for somebody that's harmed us with their words, with their actions. But this is what the Lord says for us to do. In fact, it can be really hard and difficult. And do you know what it's good? You know what it's called when you treat others good that don't deserve it? It's called love. And not just any kind of love. It's called agape love. You know what agape love is? We live in a world that is filled with the kind of love, the phileo is the Greek word, I believe. The phileo love that if you do for me, then I'll do for you. But that's not what agape love is. That's not the love that Jesus went to the cross and died and shed his blood for. The Bible says, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you and I. That's agape love. That's a love that you and I receive from God that you don't deserve. You didn't do something good. And we so much think, and I've been at the bedside of many dying people, and I'm telling them, give your life to Jesus. And they say to me, well, I've been good all my life. And being good isn't enough. But receiving the love of Christ, the agape love, and then not only receiving it, but living it for others. God wants us not only to have it, but he wants us to show it. In Luke 6:32, listen to this. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that for you? Excuse me. For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good for those who do good to you, what credit is that for you? Sinners do the same thing. Jesus says that if you only love those who do good things for you, what's the big deal about that? So that's not hard to do. Even the worst people on earth do that. Almost everyone loves people that will love them back. But Jesus wants you to be different than most people. Listen to what he says in Luke 6:27. And this is what I said earlier. He said, but if you are listening, I say, love your enemies. Yeah, that's right. Love your enemies. The people that don't like you, the people that back up and dump on you. Love your enemies. Do good even to the people that hate you. And I'm going to tell you something. That when that becomes a reality in your life, you transition. And I don't care how many years you've gone to seminary. I don't care how much Bible you got in you. But if you don't love people that don't like you, you have not graduated into the place that God wants to use you greatly. Amen. Come on, say amen, Pastor. I know this was going to be so popular. But Jesus commands us, don't just love people that love us. He says, we are to love people that don't like us. He says, we're to do good to those that hate you. Do you know somebody in your neighborhood that doesn't like you? In your school, in your work? maybe even in the church, in your own family, that does not like you. Our fleshly human nature says, if they don't like me, then I'm not going to like them. If they hate me, then I'm going to hate on them back. And our human nature might say, this is okay. And say, I don't care if they don't like me. I don't like them either. Oh, my goodness. Have I ever said that? Have you said that? And it's easy to think. It's easy to do. That's the lower life that you can live. But the high life, the best life you can live, is when you love people that don't like you. Years ago, I'm always reminded of this, and I've people that know me know this years and years ago, when we started in the church, and I wasn't welcomed in the community, although I've grown up in this area, I've been here all my life, I wasn't welcomed, and I probably didn't start off in the best way. If I had to do it all in retrospect, I would have done different. But there was a individual, there was a pastor in town, and he was just after me. He would tell everybody he's not been to Bible college, which I have not. A little bit I have, but I didn't attend full time. He says he can't do that. He's not ordained properly, and he's just on and on. And I'm going to tell you, just to be honest with you, after a while, it got old to me. In my flesh, in my mind, all these things begin to race across my mind. You know, how could I get him back? What could I do to him? And God, every time that I'd think that way, God would just say, stop it. And then one day this man reached out, or actually an attorney reached out to me and says, Pastor Marty, there's another pastor in town. They're going through some trouble. I won't get into the details. But he said, I wondered if you'd help. And I said, sure, who is it? And he told me, and it was the same man. I had to make a decision right then and there. I could sit back, lean back in my chair. Oh, God, he had blessed us. I could lean back in my chair. I could say, you deserve that. You should have kept your mouth shut. You touched God's. I could come up with all these religious things. But you see, none of that works when God is sitting right across from you at your table. It says, what are you going to do? Are you going to do what they did? Because if you do, you're just like that. Not necessarily like them, but you're like the hate. You're like the negativity. You're like the bad speech. You're like all of that. But he said, are you going to do that, or are you going to do what I called you to do? And I did that. And I blessed those that cursed my name and my life. There's an easy way of handling people that hurt us. But if we follow that path, we're no better than the ones that have hurt us and have tried to bring us down. We're not the people that God has called us to be. Jesus says if somebody calls you names or makes fun of you, you should say something nice and kind in the response. I know this is hard. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:9, don't repay evil with evil. Don't repay insult with insult. On the contrary, listen, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called. What? When you do it, you inherit a blessing. You see, when somebody curses you and you curse them back, it's like you throwing a boomerang out, and that word, that negative that you spoke about them, it just comes back to you. Come on. You know people like this. But Peter says, this is not what you've been called to do. You, my brothers and sisters, if you name the name of Christ today, you are called to be a blessing. And when you bless those who are bad to you, you throw the blessing out, and guess what comes to you? A blessing comes back. He says, repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may receive the blessing. Ooh, I love that. If someone says bad about me, I'm going to say good about them. He says in that Verse 28, pray for those who mistreat you. Have you ever been mistreated? Have you ever had somebody speak nasty about you, treat you bad, been bullied, had somebody do some really mean things to you? Have you ever had someone just try to make your life miserable? I could talk about this all morning. But God's called you to be different. He's called you to love your enemies. He's called you to care for people. Jesus says in Luke 6:31, and just as you want people to treat you, treat them with the same way. Can we do that today? In the season that we're in a moment that we're dealing with right now, instead of you being angry, instead of you being hateful, how about if you just insist to learn? You know, I'm a little bit older now. I've gained a little bit of understanding, and I've come to the conclusion that most people that don't like me or say bad things or treat me bad, it's not just about them and me. There's something else that is going on that you don't have any idea of. That's why when it happens to you, God's called you as a vessel to treat them with kindness and treat them with love. I want to pray for you today. I want to believe God for something good in your life today. For some of you, you've been struggling with this. Don't reject this morning. Don't say this is just for somebody else. This is for you today. You. Every one of us, this is for us. We need another dose of this in our lives. You need this help. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for those who have never given their life to Christ. I want to ask you to make that commitment to Him today. Lord, I ask you for my friends today that just struggle with this so severely, that live such a life in bondage with hatred. That's right. You can sweeten it up anything you want, but the bottom line, it's hatred. Release them from that, I pray today. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding, let it guard their heart and their mind in Christ Jesus. I want to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to Christ, I want you to do that right now. Say this with me. Repeat these words. This is so important. Repeat the words. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my wrongs, all my failures, all my sins. Be the Lord and Master of my life. I ask that today. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Love you so much today. Go in God's grace. He's got a great plan for you. Love one another. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. If somebody does bad to you, bless them. I love you. Hey, we're going to be back at 10 o'clock. I'll see you then.